people.
It is us again. Did you miss us?
You missed us.
You have missed us. It's I know.
Okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
We are missable.
Look at us.
It's true.
Missable somebody.
Somebody is okay. We are humble also.
We are very humble.
We are so humble.
In fact, our humility is overwhelming.
It's just, in fact, our humble impresses me.
Yeah. When I wake up, I say, look at you. Humble like
humble somebody.
You don't even need pie. Pie needs you.
Ah.
Humble pie.
Thank you. Anyway. Welcome. Jesus and Jollof is here.
And we don't know how to act.
We don't.
Also, we're hurting. We're hurting.
Listen, we just did a 1-hour session with my personal trainer. The way my muscles.
Your muscles.
Are crying.
In fact, they say give us freedom.
Wait though. Let me tell you how useless me and Yvonne are. We worked out. All good. And you know, we're supposed to get like a protein shake or like a nice healthy lunch. What did we? Actually, you know what? Our lunch was not bad.
It was yam and beans.
And beans. And egg.
Carb and protein.
And rice. And stew.
But no. Lovey, here goes Lovey. What should we drink? I said, Lovey, water. You're right, Cha. But what did she end up drinking?
Dr. Pepper.
And I tried to tell her, Dr. Pepper is not an actual doctor.
It's okay.
It's not helping your immune system.
It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're hurting. It's okay.
You can do it when you're
skinny. We're going to get on the show just tired. And people are going to be like, are Ivana Lovey okay? We're going to be like, hi, guys.
See, our blood sugar has come back up because we have eaten. But when we came into the studio.
We were weak. The body was weak.
I get so weak in the knees, I can hardly.
We're gonna get on this show and be like, "Hi guys, it's Lovey and Yvonne."
Yeah, your blackness is more than enough
on Jesus and Jollof.
Anyway,
people would literally be like, "Are they? They're not okay. Who do we have to call? Because they're not fine. Somebody must have died."
I'm like, "Who are them?
Who are them?
Who beat you?
Who beat you? You know what? You know what beat us? Exercise beat us.
You let us know we're getting older,
man. Yeah.
The bounce back is not
what bounce back.
The snapback is gone.
Are we not supposed to wait like 24 hours before hurting? No, we instantly walked out the place like I have nothing left.
Well, we said, my thigh muscles.
My thigh muscles. They are crying in this moment.
So, yeah, guys, it's real. Once you get over, 33?
Yes.
Stuff to go. Yes. At 35, I'm feeling it. I'm like, whew.
Listen, this is why I decided I was like, okay, I need to really legit go to a personal trainer because we have to get our lives together. We're getting older up there. So we can't be.
And 35 is not old. It is not old, but it's
me, I'm young. I'm 34. Thank you. You see where Yvonne is hitting. Yvonne is my elder. Auntie Yvonne.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and dial again. If you need help.
I'm the young one on Jesus and Jollof.
Bless you. Don't worry. Respect your elders. Oh, yeah, get that on your knee. Oh, yeah, pick pin.
My hand is on the ground, right? Auntie Yvonne. My hand is on the ground.
Respect yourself. Respect
yourself. Oh, man. So, yeah.
I love how our parents would threaten us before they actually did the thing they were telling us about. If you do, if I catch you, it's like this, the ramp up.
But here's the thing, though. The if I catch you, there's actually no real threat there. It's really just, but we just put the threat in our own heads. If they catch me, they
I don't want them to catch. I don't want them to catch me. I don't want to find out. Because what happens if they catch me?
Ha.
You know what? They won't catch me.
They won't catch me.
Let me just stop.
Let me stop this stupid nonsense. If I catch you.
I remember one time my mom was about to beat me. She's like, if I beat, I said, boy, don't beat me. It's my fault. I'm an idiot. It's my
fault. You probably deserve to beat
me. My mommy did. Blame me. Mommy, I blame myself. I was that kid. You did not even need to show me belt. By the time you show me belt, it's too late.
I was a kid afraid of just disappointing people.
Of course.
I was just like, I don't want to disappoint. So I would usually correct my behavior. The moment I saw the face, that was like, the if I catch you face. Mm-hmm. The nonverbal if I catch you usually had me sit down.
It's real. If I catch you. Mommy, you know what? You know, I'm so sorry.
But you know what? It doesn't work for some kids. That if I catch you.
Because you know what has happened? They have continued to do it and the parents never caught them. And they're like, it's just smoke. It's just gonna smoke.
Until it's not.
Until it's not. My brother was the strong one. My brother Harold, who became a boxer, it should have been very obvious to us.
Obvious.
My mom would just come out, everyone, put out your hand. And she would use a spatula because that is the weapon of choice when all your dishes are drying in the dishwasher.
Yep.
So she reaches for the nearest weapon. Spatula. And wooden too, because that's the one you use.
Yes, and the eba and the echo. Yes.
So, she's like, put out your hands. So we all put out our hands. Me, I start crying before the first thing. Mommy, I didn't do it. I would have told you, would have been me. Look at me, would have been me. Crying before she even raised her hand. And then my older brother was just kind of like, hey, yo, who did it? Because he's like, I ain't finna get beef for no reason.
Right.
But, like, we all in it. And then Harold was just like,
I'm gonna take it.
I take it. He tired my mom.
Are you serious?
I was just finally, my mom was like, oh, somebody confess. Who did it?
I'm tired of beating people. Me, I'll sing like a bird.
And then he was like, it was me.
After all of this.
You should see the way me and my brother and son, they'd be like, you finished God, so you're allowed to see. We said we wanted to beat him. No loyalty.
None.
I was a snitch. I was the snitch in my family.
Because I would rather be a snitch.
Sing like
a
band.
I would tell. Listen. What did y'all do for me?
I said, mommy, go. No, what I remember one time, yo, I gave my brothers very specific instructions. Like, it's like very, very specific instructions. If y'all are going out to the movies, y'all are sneaking out to the movies. Mommy and daddy have told us, stay home.
Yeah.
You people have one job.
One job.
Bring me back the big bag of candies.
Oh, so you were just, as long, you are fine. Yeah. As long as you bring me back candy.
One job. Me, I'm not going, I will be the lookout.
Yeah.
I will tell you the coast is clear. This is before cell phones.
Yeah.
I will leave the door unlocked after mommy has locked the door.
Correct.
Come back down, sneak like a thief in the night, unlock it. Just bring me back big candy. I wanted Sour Patch Kids. Okay.
So you're placing orders.
Yes. With Snicker minis. Okay. And those little worms, it's just the big bag. Oh, and the chocolate almonds.
So wait, how many things did you order?
However can fit in the bag. You know, the bag was just big. That had 16 ounces, 12 ounces, 10 ounces. I wanted cavities, apparently, but I've never had cavities. And this is why I've never had cavities. Because these baggers, these vagabonds,
they never
brought back the candy.
And you would look out.
The way I sang like a bit. Mommy, yesterday you told us to stay home. All of them went out. Uche, Ike, Afa, and they were there. And then we were that friend that you told them not to be around.
So you just sang.
Hey, like a bird. Why? You have to respect me. You disrespect me.
So because they didn't bring your candy. You are just, I mean, it's true.
It's true.
They did not hold up their end of the bargain.
Me, I was there. Like just watching. Watch like Harriet Tubman. Just watching. Okay?
For the Underground Railroad.
For the Underground watching and making sure that you come home
and they didn't respect you.
And they did not respect
you.
Know,
I understand.
It was only right.
Me too, I would sing. I wouldn't even lie. I would sing.
What's the problem?
It's true.
I don't understand.
I would sing also.
And to this day, they're like, you're a snitch. I'm like, eh.
It's true. I am. Remember it. Bring me some candy back.
Next time you learn. And they never learned the lesson. They just actually never did it. And then they would always be mad at me for stealing on them. So that was the relationship we had.
That was your first moment in business.
That's how you.
A contract that was broken. They broke the contract.
I'm a person of integrity.
They broke the contract.
I kept my end
so
of the bargain.
So you were like, well, there's nothing. There's no contract here. I can't sing.
I always knew I was going to be an entrepreneur.
What happened is, that was their non-disclosure agreement that
they did not sign.
They didn't sign it.
Yeah. So,
you know what? I understand.
Yeah, so I disclosed.
You disclosed all of it. You told all the
business. I disclosed all of it. And another thing, he's dating a girl you don't like.
And then you told
everything.
No. Yeah, you were definitely a snitch.
Snitch McGee. I will tell. Before they even ask me, I'm telling mommy, you didn't ask this, but listen, I have secrets.
Oh my God. I was not that bad though. I was not that bad. You are telling me about girlfriends and and who didn't do the well, I was bad was
who didn't do the dishes?
Who didn't do the dishes? Whenever I would get in trouble, it would be for my mouth for insulting my brother.
Are you the youngest or oldest?
Youngest. And I was cute like this.
You're so cute.
Thank you.
Button cheeks like this.
Just imagine this person shrunken down.
You can't get any shrunker.
Shut up.
Honey, I shrunk the kids, but she's already shrunk.
So I used to get away with murder. But then I'd know that, like, if I go to my mom and I just do the cute face and I just start crying, it was a wrap. So, but the times I would get in trouble is I would abuse my brother. Mm-hmm. And then I'd just walk away.
Child.
That's because he used to try to abuse me first. And me, I didn't like the fact that because I was small, people used to try to take advantage of me.
What would you say to him?
I don't even remember. I used to like come at his head. The moment I feel disrespected, I would just straight go off on him.
Nothing has changed.
No, I've been the same person.
You're still the same person.
Same exact person. So he would go to her and be like, she said this. Did you say it? And because I can't lie, I'd be like, yes.
I cannot lie either.
I can't lie. I'd be like, yes.
I start sweating. I start shivering. I'm just
a bad liar.
I can't do it.
You just be like, I see you're twitching. Why is your face twitching?
Even I start stuttering. Like, that song. I can tell you're lying.
So they're like, Yvonne, did you do it?
The thing about, you know, okay, you know what? What are we even talking about? I just,
and this is why I have to live a life of honesty, because I just don't know how to lie. I am a bad liar.
I can't do it. Like, my soul, like, it's just like, I have to be like, okay, what, guys, before, let's not talk about this question, okay? You're asking the wrong question. No, we're asking the question that needs an answer.
Please answer.
Everyone, calm down. Everyone, calm down. Why are you just pressing me?
And they're like, Yvonne.
And you get mad.
You have been caught. This is why I'm like, I can't lie.
I can't.
To thine own self be true.
To thine own self. Ah.
Listen, I will get in trouble for just speaking the truth. Yes, yes, I said that to him, mommy. Yes, I call him a dummy. Yes, I call him a bastard.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
What?
You just called. I'm abusing your brother anyhow.
Not him. Of course. And then I'll get. That's the time I got in trouble. But then I was also the kid who didn't like to go to bed. I'm still the same. Actually, no. Now I actually really enjoy bed, because now I enjoy sleep. The moment they're like, it's like 9 o'clock, it's time to go to bed. 5-year-old me would be like, I'm thirsty.
Now you know you're thirsty.
Now
you so you can pee in the bed. Thunder, fire, punish you. So you can just urinate all over the mattress.
I got the most hungry the moment I was told that I have to go to bed. Can I have pounded yam and...
You want me to pound yam for you?
Look.
As a 4-year-old, you're not serious. We used to have this sectional in our basement. I'll never forget this. And, you know, there's always one long part of the sectional that's the favorite part.
Yes!
It's like, there's one part of the couch that's like, is the coveted part. And so, it's 4 of us. I'm the youngest one. So, my brothers already knew, like, if you come at me, I was a daddy's girl.
Yep.
Who did something to your sister? It was them. All of them. They don't like me.
You were supposed to be an actress. You were. They don't like me.
They don't like me, but they beat me. They always beat me. So I'm like, oh, what did you do? I didn't beat. What should I do?
You were supposed to act. Honestly, they should have known. You were supposed to act.
Oh, my God. So I'm on the section. I'm on the part of the sectional that is, like, the best part. My brothers are like, yo, you falling asleep, son. I'm like, I'm not sleeping. Because everyone, as a kid, everyone fights sleep.
Correct.
I'm not sleeping. Yvonne. If we see you falling asleep, Yvonne, just go to bed now. I'm not sleeping. Leave me alone. I'm not sleepy. What's the problem? I want watching TV. I woke up outside my bedroom door.
No.
They didn't even have the decency.
They carried you there.
They carried me 3 flights of stairs upstairs. And then left me outside the bedroom.
They didn't even put you in the bed.
They didn't put me in the bed. The disrespect. You carried me up the 2 flights of stairs
and left you outside the door, yo.
As a lesson.
But wait though, the fact that your goofy self did not wake up at any point.
It was until the morning. I was like, where am I? I'm outside my home. I was like, and then what do you say to that? I'm getting rock burned as I'm turning in my sleep just on the carpet.
Yo, that might be the best sibling story I've ever heard. They left you outside the door. That is some disrespect. Not the only disrespect. The extra disrespect of, first of all, we're going to pick her up off this thing and take her to bed. But we will actually leave you outside of the door. We will put you on the floor.
We don't care about you enough. We don't care about you because we want you.
Yo, that is genius.
And then the next day I was like, why did you people care? But we told you not to fall asleep.
I can
laugh about it now, but really I need therapy.
No, that is actually an amazing. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm picturing you waking up outside the
door. And just curled up because I sleep in the fetal position. Just like, so I was like, did both of them carry me up? Because it was 2 of them. That I was like, so was it one person that just dropped? Because I was trying to figure out, like, how did I get upstairs?
Did you not wake me up?
did you get 2 to the foot and 2 to the head? Were you carrying me by feet and by leg? Or did one person just manhandle me up the 3 flights of stairs?
No.
And then did you just...
Oh, God. That is amazing. I feel like you have to go through it's like a sibling rite of passage for them to torture your life, especially when you're the baby.
If you're the youngest.
If you're the youngest, it's a wrap. It's not happening for you.
Man, I remember, I just remember so many stories. And then it's like I was the only girl.
Right.
So it's like I had 3 older brothers, I was the only girl. And I just remember, like, I was last with everything. It's like, okay, my mom will order pizza. Okay. I found you take the big slice of pizza first. Okay, then Uche. Okay, he came. And then they leave me the one tiny slice of pepperoni. What is this for this? And then what I would do, because I never like being like, because I don't know what it is about me. I would nibble on my pizza, just nibble it, wait for everybody else to finish, and then just be proud that I still had food left. Just be proud, as if I was getting a prize.
You speak so much about who Yvonne is today. Like,
no, continue going. The last shall be first. I have no idea what it says about me, but it's like, no matter what, even if you think I'll lose, by the time you guys are finished, I will still have more. I will always win.
This says so much about Yvonne. I'm like, oh my God.
You learned so much about me.
So much. So much. I'm like, yo, that is, oh man.
But that's
good.
Like what the thing that happens in our childhood, we bring that into our adulthood. Like, it's like we can't escape. Well, you can, and some things you should escape.
Oh, man.
But it's like, as we think about our adulting, it's like the things in our upbringing that prepared us. I think I'm so strong as a human being because when you've been carried and left outside your bedroom door,
you have no other choice but to have fortitude.
You have fortitude. You have to have you have to regain your dignity in life. So you will leave me outside of my bedroom door. It's okay. I will show you. I will come back tomorrow and win. But it's just like when I was getting bullied. I think this is my favorite story. I was getting bullied, and my mom, God bless her heart, my mom, I think she believed so much in me, or she didn't care. It was she believed so much in me, or she didn't care about the things I was going through. Because when I would come home, I would get bullied. My mom's like, Yvonne, don't cry. Don't you cry. These girls, they're just jealous of you. I said, no, they are not. They sit next to each other in the lunchroom. They
have friends.
They have friends. I was like, Mom, they're not jealous of me. They called me ugly. I was like, and maybe I'm ugly.
And where are those girls today?
I don't know.
We don't know.
But I'm me. I'm a red carpet.
Hey, on H. B.O.
And so one day my mom was like, Yvonne, listen to me. We did not come to this country for you to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, I don't think she cares about my social life.
No.
She doesn't care. She's like, listen, those girls, you see, one day you will be their boss.
Hey.
Me, I'm like, what is it that I'm going to do? I'm in eighth grade. What boss? I'm only in eighth grade.
What company am I running?
What company am I running, right? But when your mom, like, when that's all you got, like, my mom is reinforcing that. Again, we didn't come to this country for you to make friends. You didn't come to this. So she's reinforcing that. I never forget, I was sitting, I think it was science class, and the girls was getting on me. It was bullying me. And I had nothing else. You know, like, when you have no arsenal. The only thing I picked, I was like, don't y'all worry, because you know what? One day I'm going to be your boss.
Oh, you actually told them that.
They look at me and they were like,
They that sounds like an after-school special.
Girl, they clown me so much more. They were like, we don't even know what we going to do when we grow up.
Wait,
like,
I love the fact that then they rebutted you. It was like a debate. And they're like, first of all, like, that's not even logical.
That's not even logical.
Your bullies were logical.
My bullies were real logical. They're like, what you mean you're going to be our boss? Like, how you going to be working for us? Like, we don't even know what company we going to be at. Like,
we don't even know the industry and our passions and our purpose yet. Like your bullies over here giving you a TED Talk. Like, we don't even know our purpose. So why would you make that statement?
And I was like, it don't even matter. Whatever it is, I'm gonna be your boss. But it was so Nigerian of my mom to be like, don't worry, you will be over them.
Is it just them?
Don't worry, just keep getting straight A's and you'll be running something one day.
I love it. Thanks, Mom.
I was like, you know what? Mom, she believed in me.
Legit. That's a great pep talk. She's like, besides, I don't care about your social life.
I don't care about your feelings.
She's like, I didn't never let us go to sleepovers. I used to be so mad. I remember once I got invited to a college trip where they were gonna make us do like a 5 college tour or whatever. And I was so excited. I came home and I was like, Mom, blah, blah, blah. My mom shut it down so quick. You're not going. Man, I thought she was the worst person on the face of the earth.
Yes.
All my friends are going.
And then you see the Netflix special, Abducted in Plain
and
Sight.
And I said, I understand. Yes. Adult me is like, I understand why they never let us do stuff like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's some things that our parents did that were like, that was probably extra. Like, you know, when you're like, I want to borrow clothes with my cousin. Are you Paul? Then tomorrow they'll say that we don't have money. And then we just say, you're like,
or when
you
go to somebody's house and they're like, listen, you're not hungry.
You already ate.
But mommy, I don't want your people to think I'm not feeding you in the house.
I'm not feeding you. You're like, but you are feeding me. We can also go somewhere else and eat.
So they can think I'm starving you.
And it's always the house that has the best food.
You be like,
the snacks that your parents never bought for you. Like,
Mommy, the one please. From London. The snacks from London, digestive
biscuits. The biscuits!
You'd be like, oh. No, hey. I'm not hungry. Meanwhile, your stomach is speaking tongues to everybody in the room. Speaking tongues.
Right, that's what
you're talking about. You're talking about like.
And then, of course, they come, Lovey, would you like some? And you, everything in you wants to say yes. Yeah, and like, then you just look to your mom. And she's giving you that look like, I'll slap you.
But then the look that she's, and then she says out loud, yes, take one. Would you? So you're like, wait.
It's your confusion.
7-year-old you is like, wait, she told me at home not to take it.
And then
but we're here. Because this lady in front of me, she telling me to take it. So your hand is just hovering
over it. Your hand is shaking. As like, you reach for the plate. Meanwhile, your mom is giving you eye. You're like,
but I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, but I want it. Mama, no.
Yo.
I want to do it.
Oh, my God.
But I can't.
I can't do it.
Because in your mind, you're feeling like, the minute I put my hand on this biscuit, the hot slap that is awaiting me.
No, at home. At home. They have to play nice in front of them. Yes. This shortbread cookie.
This show is not worth it.
The shortbread cookie is not worth it. Also, so actually, what I used to do was I would grab the cookie or whatever it was, and I would just hold it in my hand. I'll just hold it in my hand and I will eat it.
As it's sweating.
So essentially, I'm in the middle ground where I'm like, I took it because they told me to take it.
She's in cookie purgatory.
Yeah, cookie purgatory. And I've just been like, I'm just going to hold on to it. We have to navigate a lot, man.
Yo, we have to navigate a lot. And in our adult lives, we have to navigate those things that like were instilled in us.
We're supposed to be talking to adults and see our lives. It's okay.
No, but I think this is part of adulting, like to reflect. Because you can't know where you're going until you know where you've been.
And Lord knows, where you've been has sometimes been rough.
Wait, what's your favorite song? Sometimes I pray.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I sink in the ocean's floor. Sometimes I float. We floated. Praise God. We floated.
This song, Lovey, I was like, Lovey, I don't know if this song is. It's not a good song. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I sink to the ocean floor. Which
sometimes
one is
I float. We are floated. In Jesus' name. May you always float.
May you always float.
Oh, my God.
So, guys, we're just here trying to hopefully inspire you in your adulting as you reminisce
about the shenanigans of your childhood. You know what? That's why I hate horror movies now. Is that like my older sister and like my cousins would watch horror movies, and since we were like they'd babysit, so we'd be the only ones in the house. So my options were be in a different part of the house where there's nobody, or sit with everybody and watch the horror movie with them. So it's like me being in a different part of the house with nobody, that's scary by itself. So fine, I'll sit here with you people. Man, Poltergeist, Exorcist, Children of the Corn.
All of them.
Traumatized. You want to talk about traumatized? What's the other one? Is it Child's Play? Which one?
Chucky.
Chucky?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I would used to have to sit there watching it with them, and I'd be traumatized. I'd be like, oh, my God. So adult me, I cannot stand horror movies.
Wow. I think mine, my brothers, you know, now that I look back, I'm like, my child was very traumatic. My brothers were big, like, WWF fans. So, and I just was always trying to fit in. I was always just trying to, like, get love. I was just always trying to be, like, one of the boys. Because I was like, my thing was, anything you can do, I can do better. Mm-hmm. I literally did not realize that I was my mom's daughter. I was like, I'm your fourth son. She was like, no.
No.
So that's why, like, I bucked against cooking. I was like, what? I was like, they're outside playing Nerf ball. And you want me to be in the kitchen. So my mom had this thing where, like, as long as you were studying, then, like, you got a pass to not be in the kitchen. So if I couldn't be outside, I was always studying.
So you were reading.
I was always reading.
But that's not bad.
But I wasn't even reading. I'll just sit at the table with a book. But I just don't want to be in the kitchen. Because it was like, I just wanted to prove a point. Like, if I can't be outside, I'm not going to be in the kitchen with you. I was always a person of principles.
That makes sense.
I mean, now as a grown-up, I was like, but I want to learn how to make egusi soup.
Egusi would be good.
But my brothers, they used to watch WWF.
Okay.
And
so they,
because I really wanted their love and affection, and I didn't want to wake up outside of my bedroom anymore, I would allow them to do moves on me. And so they would be like, okay.
WWF moves?
Oh, my God. So like, okay, Yvonne, we're going to put you to sleep a hold. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
meanwhile, I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And you know when you're in the sleep a hold and you're like tapping your shoulder like. And
I'm
like,
out, tap me up.
And they were like, no, it's okay, just a little bit more. And I'm like, I can't breathe.
So that's why you're a tomboy now.
I'm a tomboy now. Or like they'll jump from the top of the section or the same section.
Oh, no.
And it's like DDTV. Whatever, DDT. And then DDT moves on me and I was like, yes, can I try it on you?
Oh my God. Then, oh my
yo.
God.
Bless
it.
And I just thought that was normal.
Yo.
So nobody else was getting WWF.
If you had a bunch of brothers, yeah. I did not. So I only had one.
Or they would do the leg when they put you in between their thigh and
the twist.
Yeah. And I'll be on the floor like, trying to tap out.
And they never let me tap out.
Because I didn't have a tap out partner.
Oh my God.
It was 3-1.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that childhood was funny.
Childhood was funny. I hope you guys are reminiscing with us about your own traumatic childhood.
Of all the moments when you're like,
it brought you much joy. But as you reflect, you're like, it makes so much sense.
So much. Yeah, look.
So what do you think you are now because of your childhood? Are you...
I'm principled also. Mm-hmm. I've always, again, like, the times I got in trouble were because I spoke up about being cheated or feeling like somebody disrespected me. And that has definitely carried me through... When people were like, oh my God, you speak up, you're like a truth teller. I'm like, literally because
you used to tell the truth.
Picture this person at 4. Like, be like, I used to actually ask my mom, this is the part that y'all gonna be like, what? Let's say I did something wrong, got in trouble for it, and my mom decided to slap me or whoop me. I would cry, of course.
Let's just also tell the people about the slaps. The Naija slap is, it should be patented because...
First of all...
There are many levels to it.
If you watch an anime cartoon, you know how they like animate... those moves and they're real dramatic and then they put music to the moment the
and it kind of looks like
hits.
It's going in slow motion. But
yes.
It's moving full speed.
And in fact, anime them was watching Nigerian Mother.
Yes.
And then was like, let's reenact that and put it in a cartoon. Because when they're coming towards you, first of all, let me tell you the technique.
The circumference.
They're widening their hands, right? So palm is wide open.
Palm out, uh-huh.
They reach all the way to the back. It's almost like an exercise move.
In fact, I'll do this with my trainer.
Correct. And they wind all the way around and whoop.
The vertical motion of their it's like they're playing tennis with Venus and Serena Williams.
Yes.
Because
it's the same impact and passion.
It's the same impact and passion.
Jesus Christ. They literally will reach back and just go wham. And the bad part is sometimes you don't see it coming.
At all. You never see it coming.
I'm talking, they'll do it from the back and you just be like, how did you connect so perfectly with my cheek?
And the worst is when you think it's going to land someplace and it lands completely different. Because the one that lands on your mouth and you bite your lip.
Like, did I bleed?
Jesus Christ.
They were abusive. Jesus Christ.
No, my mom has perfected the no look backhand slap. Because that's the one where she looks at you as if she's going to slap you. She walks past you
and
as if
then,
she's and then she bam! Comes back.
Ha!
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh my God. I think that's why I became a Christian.
Wait the way. Your ears first do this ringing motion where you're like, I think I've lost my hearing permanently. I might have actually.
You are as disoriented as Lovey and I were today after the gym. We're just like, we need carbohydrates. I need my blood sugar is low.
I'm like, is this what vertigo feels like? I probably understand what vertigo feels like. When you get that good slap, it is not okay. It is not okay.
And you don't know if you should cry because they always say, if you cry, I'll do it again. Like,
so no, what you do is that you know that silent cry that. It's mad delayed with a sound where you're like, like literally a 10-second difference between when the sound comes out your mouth and when you actually started it.
You know what? But for me, I actually believe that she would slap me again if I kept crying. So I did this. I was having ventilating.
We can laugh now, but Jesus Christ.
And then the worst thing you ever said is, Mommy, but why? Why what?
How dare you question me?
Like, I wanted to engage. Like, I have questions.
No, literally, I'd be like, can we do Q&A? I need to know why that just happened.
But what did I do?
No, but the one they do also is the one they do to the middle of your back. The same slap, but to the middle of your back.
I've never gotten that one.
What? Literally, yeah, instead of face, because you know you want
to... Is it because you're running away? Are they hitting your back because you're running away?
Wham! And I'm like, first of all, I never knew you could run that fast.
No.
I was never clear that you were a sprinter. Did you, when you were running track and field?
It's because the conk.
All of a sudden,
it's the conk. Hey.
Okay, so put your hand in the fist.
Jesus wept.
Put your hand in the fist. Uh-huh.
And then uproot your middle finger.
Yep.
Just
a little bit.
Just a little bit. And so it's like in a conch. So it almost looks like a cone head. They use that one. And they will find the most delicate part of your skull.
Oh, my God.
It's as if they know to connect. And they bam.
Nigerian parents were abusive.
So you were telling the story. You were sitting down with your mom. Yes.
So, yeah, when stuff like that would happen, mm-hmm. when I'll get slapped or something happens, here's the thing. I would feel deeply offended even after I cry. And again, because I'm this person. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
But you felt offended.
Deeply offended.
That you were, that you got the consequences of whatever you did.
Yes.
Okay.
I would go to my mom 10 minutes after the fact and I say, Mommy, say sorry to me.
Child.
Bruh.
Wait, and you're still alive.
Ask my sister.
And you're still alive.
My sister would verify this to you. I would literally walk up to my mom and ask her to apologize to me.
And what did your mother do?
I actually don't remember.
Yeah, because she slapped you again. Because all the brain cells from that moment.
I actually don't remember. Because I am all about justice, and I feel like in that moment I didn't get justice.
All about justice. No, you are justified. Your mother was
legit,
justified.
I was so compelled to literally walk up to my... And this was not a one-time thing. This was like a me being like, I feel like you owe me an apology.
That's when my father would say, because you're in America. Because you're in America. My father blamed everything on
No, this was before America, because I didn't get whoopings after like... 7. But like, yeah.
I thought you were about to say 17.
No, 7. So I would go up to her and just be like, apologize to me, because I just felt like I didn't get justice in that moment. I feel like
we should call your mom right now and be like, Mommy.
Is this true?
Is this true. What did you do?
What did you do?
And she'd be like, I just let her go because she's not in her right frame of mind.
Man, I've always been this girl. So it carried me. So I'm always asking people like, okay, that thing you did to me was not okay. So I've always been that girl.
You demanded your respect.
I demanded that respect, even if I didn't get it.
And I've always been. So my brothers, they got more trouble than I did. I was like, listen, Mommy and Daddy have one rule. Okay, we have one job as kids. Make straight A's. That's the only thing. And wash dishes. It's always wash dishes. And like, it was very simple in our household. Make straight A's and wash dishes. The dishes were never washed. Like, you know, like they had like simple rules, like respect. As all our parents wanted was just respect.
Yeah.
If we tell you to go to sleep at 10, go to sleep at 10. If we tell you to watch this, watch this. If we tell you don't go out, don't go out. My brothers, they pushed those limits. So I was the bleeding heart for all of my brothers. I'll never forget it. And the worst part is when you knew you were going to get a bad beating is when they called reinforcements.
Ooh. I'm calling your auntie.
Or your uncle. Ha. Because you already knew they were there to hold your legs. they were there to hold your leg or your arms. Make sure you don't escape. And my parents had a deadbolt in their bedroom. So it's like once they close the door and lock the door, it's a wrap. Like no one's coming out and no one's coming.
Y'all was the iron gates. Y'all had the iron throne. Your mama had the iron throne.
Yeah, it was Game of Thrones in our house for real. And so even though I knew my brothers were in the wrong, it was just like, I don't think they deserved this. Whatever's about to happen, like, let's talk about it. Let's use our words.
Let's use our words, which is accurate.
And so, like, they would be in there, and I would hear the bell going, wah, wah. And then it was like, but my parents always wanted to talk to you. So this thing that you did, what do you think?
So now you want to reason with me while you're beating
Please, stop asking questions. It's like when your trainer is training you, and they're like, you know, what we're doing here is the court. I'm like, are you counting? Stop telling me what. You said 14 reps. Are you counting?
I thought I was on 8 already.
Yes. So anyway, what I would do, I would be like, I would bang on the door. Daddy, Mommy, please open the door. I would be crying for them.
Aww.
I would be like, Daddy, wait, let's talk about it, please. And then my dad would open the door. I was like, you know what? Forget it. They deserve it. Because my dad would open the door like, you want some of this smoke? I'm like,
and no, I don't,
no.
Never mind. I don't want.
Mato.
I'm facing my front. I'll go face my front. Because you weren't facing your front.
He essentially was like, you trying to trade places with these fools? You know what? No, because you told me to stay home. And what did I do? I stayed home.
Me, I minded my business. The water wars ended instantly. No, never mind. I'm
instantly.
Okay. Instantly.
But I know that as an adult, that's why I be like, I go so hard for people because I'm like, come on, man, you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want, it's not going to end well. But see, here's
the
thing,
though. You were advocating for them when they weren't behaving properly themselves. Because they'll do it again the next day.
They'll do it again.
That is absolutely adult Yvonne.
That's
that is absolutely adult Yvonne. That's hilarious. Yes.
And I be wanting to be like, like, I want to protect you from the beating.
From the stupidity and the beating.
I want to protect you from the storms. But I realize now, like, as an adult, like, some people got to go through these storms.
Yeah.
Some people got to go through these storms. It's going to suck for them because you're like, what? They're calling uncle.
In fact, stop that thing you're doing right now before you get in real trouble.
They've already dialed the number. And uncle lives down the street. It's not going to end well for you. And I remember vividly, I go like, listen, just apologize. Like, go upstairs and apologize. I'm the youngest.
And I'm telling them.
Just go apologize. That's, you know, like, true. Mommy and daddy, they, like, all they just want is for you to apologize. Like, show remorse. For so what? And then they'd be like, for what? I'm like, you're going to die.
You're not going to make it.
Or I would be coaching them on how to make the beating go quick. I'm like, just cry. Just shed one tear. But my brother has so much pride and ego. Cry. For what? For what? I'm like, because it's going to be painful.
Meanwhile, you're feeling their pain while they themselves are not feeling their own pain.
And that's the story of my life.
That is absolutely adult, Yvonne. Golly.
And I got to do better.
See, I didn't usually get beat. I usually got the... if I got beat, I must have done something really crazy. I usually got the punishment of exercise. What? You know how Nigerian parents will punish you with exercise?
Yes, they'll tell you to pick pin.
So for those who are listening, first of all, there's a reason why a lot of Nigerians, you know, have really thunder thighs and strong muscles. We haven't worked out in 20 years, but there's still all this muscle in our thighs.
Because our ancestors who went to the well.
No, not just them. But when we were growing up, when you did that thing you were not supposed to do and your parents had no energy to even hit you or deal with your shenanigans.
They'll tell you to go to the wall.
Go to the wall. What that means, you will slide down the wall in a squat position and they said, hold it there for 30 minutes.
For 30, and if you even slide down.
That's below, when they'll find energy to slap you then. Like, it's like, you either do this, or I slap you senseless.
Or the other one is pick pin when they tell you to, first of all,
it looks like a
T exercise where you're like finding your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I remember my aunt coming over. This was awful. My aunt came over and my mom was like mad at one of us. And my auntie was like, do you still beat these kids? I don't have the energy or strength anymore. I just tell them to pick pin. So in my mind, I'm like, yo, we got a Chico. Mommy's not going to beat us no more. I was like, which one is pick pin? And she was like, keep on coming. Let me show you. So I'm like, all right, show and tell. She's like, you put your index finger on the floor.
Your pointer finger
on the floor. Your body leans forward and your leg leans.
One leg is up. One leg is down.
So it's almost like you're like one of those like top heavy, like
bobbleheads
kind of things. And she was like, yes, stay in that position.
Your body is in the shape of an upside down V.
Yes. She was like, just stay in that position. When the blood rushes all the way to your temple, it's then you know you have a mother and father. I was like, beat me.
I don't even want that one.
This is some kind of treacherous.
Because one, here's the thing is, you have to maintain your balance on your pointer finger, right? Two, at that moment, you're probably crying because whatever you did, you already know you are in dead trouble.
Oh, also, if you fall, the clock starts over again.
Yes, yeah, so you're supposed to do this for 10 minutes. The moment you tip over, okay.
Your 10 minutes starts
10
again.
10 minutes starts all over.
So I think our parents are personal trainers.
Absolutely. Oh, there's the other one of kneel down in a corner and put your hands up.
Ah.
Oh. Okay, you did this thing. Okay, here's what I want you to do. That corner. Go kneel down. Put your hands up. You're like, that's not bad. Mm. Yeah, it's not bad for the first 30 seconds.
Your hands cannot fall down.
Your hands can't come
they
down.
They must be straight. And you're facing the wall.
You're facing the wall.
Try.
Your knees, the way your knees are just blackened up.
I think our parents were teaching us in that moment how to reflect and meditate on our life choices.
Because you have to zone out to be able to like be like, okay, I have to leave this up. And then your arms start shaking.
They're shaking.
And that is when, if the hand even comes down, you might get slapped.
Or flogging.
So if you wonder why we have these muscles memory.
And also why we're the strongest people on the earth. Not just physically, but mentally.
Mentally.
It's like we have already been mentally trained.
We've been hazed. Our parents hazed us.
We were in a fraternity.
It's called Niger Kids Fraternity Incorporated. We've been hazed.
Here's the thing.
I don't plan on hitting my kids, but I definitely plan on having them do wall squats. Yo. You just did something wrong? Yes, please go squat against the wall.
That's actually worse than hitting.
Like, it is.
Because it's like, mommy, but why are you torturing?
Why are you torturing? But in this point, I'm going to let you be physically fit while you piss me off. So go on the corner, because I don't believe in hitting kids. I would just tell you.
You don't believe in hitting them.
You know, no, I don't think it works.
It works for a lot of kids.
That's because we're different people. You actually didn't have to hit us for it to work. Keep in mind.
Yes, but
we were scared the moment you gave us the face.
Yes, but at the moment of impact, yeah, I learned a very deep lesson. I learned a deeper lesson. Again.
I was one of those kids where you didn't have to hit me more than once for one thing, for the
sure.
same thing, right?
For sure.
The moment you hit me first, I was like, I don't like that thing that just happened, so I will fix my behavior so it doesn't happen again. A lot of kids are not that, right? You will beat kids until they're tired, which, and I don't believe in that. So go to the corner, kneel down, put your hands up, I can do that. Go squat. I could do that.
But then you may be raising a triathlete and he's like, oh, my mom, this is great, Bob. And then he still doesn't learn the lesson.
You go to practice and everybody else is exhausted and you're like, oh, I just did this yesterday.
Lovey is raising NFL
Absolutely. I'm raising future Olympians. Okay? They'll be like, yeah, I've totally been working out since I was two. Because that was the first time I messed up.
Because I was getting in trouble.
I was getting in trouble. So I just did a plank. I'll make them do the plank.
Lovey's kids are the most fit on the playground.
Oh, my kids will have six packs and like thunder thighs. And then let somebody bully them. They'll be able to handle their own.
They're playing tether ball and they've already taken up the tether all the way around.
They'll be like, they broke the ping pong table again. Thank you, my superhumans. Like, my bad behaving superhumans.
I'll be raising mandingos.
I'll be raising freaking mbakus. Like, We have one.
We have one. Oh, we have so many issues.
Yeah. Look, I tell you, we are the people we are because of our childhood and in spite of our childhood.
Now, in your relationship, what has your childhood assisted in like your adulting relationship, like, or what has it hindered?
I'm able to speak up for in a moment when I feel like I don't like what happened easier.
Well, we were talking the other day and we talked about how we like walk away, like how we storm out.
So what I try not to do, because I've been using my words for so long, and I actually, yeah, like I prefer to use my words, I make it a point and I can say, hey, this thing happened, I didn't like it, I didn't feel right in that moment, here's what I need to happen next time. And he receives it. And I think being able to use your words, yeah, it's something. And I realize it's a practice. And the fact that I've been practicing it since I was two. I started reading when I was three. So I could.
Over Shiva.
Shut up.
Over Shiva.
What? You were?
Other people were watching Blue's Clues. And she's like, I know the clue. The clue is that
I used to
blue.
Read newspapers oh, at three. I was like that nerd. I was actually such a nerd. I was a kid who was such a, like, I'd come home from school. You didn't have to tell me to do my homework. I would make, because I've always felt so responsible for myself. Mm. I've always felt like ask my mom, she'll tell you, I would come home before watching TV, before doing anything, I did my homework, finish it, because I've always felt this deep responsibility for myself. Like, I've never wanted other people to worry about me or be like, oh, like, I'm gonna add to your burdens. Like, my whole thing is I kind of walk through life being like, I don't want people to worry about me. Mm. So I've been that person since I was young. So there were times when I might be sick and I wouldn't even tell my mom, or I was feeling sick. And it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because it creates this too deep of a sense of independence. Mm. So in my relationship, I had to learn, like, somebody else's job is to worry about you, and that's okay.
See, I think I've always had the put me in coach kind of spirit. Mm. And so, because again, when you're the youngest, you want somebody to be like, trust me. Yeah. And I'll never forget it. My mom, there was we used to live by Laurel Mall, and there was this was Hex. Mm-hmm. It went out of business. And it got taken over by Macy's. It was like a department store, right? And this was still when, like, you know, they send you the bills. And my mom was like, I need someone to go to the mall to pay my bill, and to walk to the mall by yourself was like a big deal.
Okay.
And so my brother, I remember my brother being like, oh, I don't think I can do it tomorrow. You know, I have practice or whatever. I was like, Mommy, I can do it. And my mom was like, okay. I must have been maybe 11 because I started high school at 13.
Okay.
Or 12.
Because skip grades.
Yeah. I started high school at 12. Plus, same. My birthday is December. Yeah. So I had to be like 11 or something like that. And I was like, this is it. This is my moment. And my mom at first had agreed. So I'm like, yes. And then she was like, actually, no, I want your brother to do it. And I remember being so indignant, like, you gave me a responsibility and you took it away. Like, it was like, I can do this thing. Like, I was very like, trust me. Why doesn't anyone trust me? Like, it was like this need for me to have like my voice heard, which is probably why I became a comic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm on a stage now, mm-hmm. and like, I can command.
When before you were silenced in different ways.
Yeah, I was silenced. Yeah. And so for me, it was like, no, like, put me in. I remember my mom be like, no, Yvonne, it's okay, next time. And I did not agree with the next time. Because you already told, like, and that's probably why I go so hard with Jesus. Like,
you made me a promise. Like,
you
like,
promised me
like,
this
it's
thing.
In your word. Like, you, like if you said it, then I believe it. And so, like, represent it. Like, yeah. I'm so, like, why would you take that back? Yeah. Like, no, this is not possible. And so I remember, like, still going. My mom was like, Yvonne, it's enough. I'm done. I've already made my decision. And I was like, no, mommy, it's not a good decision. And it, ooh. That day, I realized that my mother was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins because the velocity in which
she slapped you.
No, she didn't slap me. Yo, this don't happen in slow motion and in real time. She went because she was washing dishes as per usual, and she grabbed the spatula.
Oh no!
From the dishwasher. And I dove. I'll never forget it. I actually dove. I mean, Superman. Because I saw it. And I saw it happen. Like, she did the snap back. You know, like, with a quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, hey! And they do the, they run back and look for whoever's clear. She did the snatch back and threw. And it was like, if I was a football player, I would have actually connected and caught the ball.
Because it was perfect. It was beautiful.
It was perfect landing.
It was poetry.
Problem is, it connected on my jaw.
Oh, no.
And at that moment, I said, you know what? I'm not going to the mall again.
In fact, the mall is canceled.
The mall is canceled.
God, just destroy the mall.
And this is why I was like, that was highly effective. Because, you know, I never asked. But it was highly effective. And I was like, beans work for me. I was like, you know what? I won't do next time. I won't challenge my mom. I'll just be quiet.
I mean, you had challenged her.
I challenged her.
But then you took it to the point of...
Then it turned to the point of disrespect. Because then it's like, okay.
All right, little girl.
And so for me, that's why, like, I have quit jobs. Because I'm like, no, this isn't right. Like, I don't, no. Like, yeah. I won't stand for it. And I just be like, well, I'm out.
Oh, you and I would have been friends as kids. We totally would have been friends as kids.
Because you had your voice. I was trying to find my voice.
So I would have been giving you your voice, too. Because I'd have been like, why you people do not so high? I don't like it.
Yes.
I would have totally been that girl.
And I wanted an ally. I was bullied, so I didn't have allies at school.
I totally would have been your friend. Because I was like, because I hung out with the kids that, I mean, I didn't hang out with the cool kids when I first came to the U.S., of course. Like, had the strong accent. You know, the teacher pushes me in front of the class. After I didn't realize we were moving here, nobody told me. I just thought it was vacation. She was like, introduce yourself. And in that moment, I was like...
Wait, am I staying?
Yeah, I was like, I'm staying. Oh, okay. So I had the strong accent. And this was what, sixth grade?
Yeah.
Fifth grade.
I was like, strong, hello, hey,
hi,
how
about you? My name is Lovette. Because I couldn't use the failure because I instantly knew these kids would never recognize that name or give it any respect that it deserved. So, like, my best friends we were like the ragtag crew of misfits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in elementary school. Like, one was like a redhead who used to always, redhead with braces, who used to always get teased because she was a redhead with braces.
Okay.
One was an Indian girl.
Okay.
Who people never understood that Indian... was not Native American. It was just, so I hung out with the misfits.
Yes.
That was just kind of like, and I brought my jollof rice to school and rice and stew. And of course, the pungent smell of Niger food. I love our food, but it's strong smell.
Yes.
Everybody else is with their little tuna sandwiches and turkey sandwiches. So what I used to do was I'd be like, here goes my tub. Me, tell my mom to bring sandwich, please. You're taking jollof to school.
Yes.
And I would open the top real slowly so the scent won't come out too strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be eating it like, with my spoon, and one of the kids was like, what is that? And I was like, it's rice. What is that rice? It smells funny. I used to try to hide my food at that point.
Because
I was like, I didn't even want a sandwich anyway. I did actually want the jollof rice. So I actually never asked my mom, can I take a tuna sandwich? I wanted my jollof rice. So I was just like, well, I guess what I got to do is just sit further away from them. I was never like, I should stop bringing jollof. Yeah. I was like, but this is what I like to eat for lunch. So I'm just going to sit further away so I don't have to hear your mouth. Because the kids used to think Nigeria was Jamaica.
Hysterical.
So they'd be like, what up, Mon?
And you're like, I don't know who you're talking
who
to.
Who is Mon? And I was like, what? Oh, okay. When I finally understood, I was like, that's stupid. I was like, there's not the same country. They don't even, they're not even close together. What are y'all talking about? So like me, I'm always against, I'm always like driven crazy when things aren't logical. So I'm like, if your joke makes sense, let it make sense.
Yes.
The mon?
Yeah. If you're gonna pick on me, like be accurate.
Be accurate about the picking. Like I don't understand. Well, do you guys have clothes? And I used to sit there.
And I'm like, what am I wearing?
What am I wearing?
What am I wearing? It's yours. African booty scratcher. Where did you see me scratch
my booty? Me. The class fooled me.
Yes, I did it in the bathroom stall. You didn't see it. Okay. And first of all, how do we get the patent on booty scratching? Are we the only one?
I don't understand.
So you have never gotten an itch.
I don't understand.
At all.
Man.
Idiot.
Told that for you.
No, the thing in my childhood that I saw at an early age that has bled into my adulting, I remember my mom was a nurse at Howard University, HU, for 27 years. And my mom, I don't know, she always was a hard worker, but she was always a hard worker, she was always nice, and she always believed that, like, people would do stuff for her. It was just like, people would do it. Yeah. And it was like, and you'd be like, mom, I think, like, they're busy. Ah, it's okay, come. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I'll never forget it. One day I was sick, and I needed an appointment, and the doctor was booked up. My mom, you'll come to work with me. I'm like, for what? He's busy. Like, I was like, I don't have an appointment. They will see you. Don't worry.
The audacity.
My mom was just like, he will see you. He will see you. Just come to work with me. And I would come to work with her. Doctor, I brought my daughter. I know your secretary told me that you are busy. But if you have any chance today, she's here. She'll be here all day. I mean, work with her all day. Just be seen.
She'll be here all day.
And then, like, that wasn't enough because I was just in the morning. So she had to remind him that I was sitting there. Doctor, how are you today? You know, I brought some extra food. Are you hungry? Okay. My daughter is still here if you're able to see her. Okay, Ivan, okay. Just stay still. I promise you, I might have waited for 5 hours, but I got seen.
But you got seen.
That day.
That audacity ask.
How you going to tell me no?
How you going
to
tell me no?
I bought it. Some people be waiting like, hey, is it okay if my daughter comes, can you see
it? Is it okay maybe?
No. Could you? She's here. Tell her no if you want. And it's just like, oh, God dang it.
I love that,
yes,
though.
That's my mom.
It's like, because a no won't kill you.
A no won't kill me.
They could have said no. Okay, you will come back tomorrow.
But no, he said no because it's too early. He doesn't know. Don't worry, one of his patients will cancel. Correct. He doesn't know it yet.
The audacity.
They haven't called him. Just sit here. And she would just sit there. I remember sitting in the waiting room for like hours like, this is crazy. What if I don't get seen? Mama did not care. You just sit here. By the end of the day, doctor, thank you so much for seeing her. Yes. No, she's feeling better.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes.
That was
it
my
happened.
Mom. That's
what The audacity to ask.
The audacity to ask and to move as if you're going to get a yes.
I'm bringing you. There's no reason for me to go sit there trying to find a schedule.
I'm bringing you.
That's powerful.
And that's called faith. That's like faith without works. The work was bringing me.
Yes.
And having you sit there. And the faith was believing like you will see today.
It's happened to me before.
It's like you move with the audacity that you're going to get a yes, with the belief that you're going to get a yes.
Correct. And that is actually half the battle, because if she didn't bring you that day, that doctor wouldn't have seen
you. Yeah, if she didn't bring me that, it's like, you know what, my schedule's not free till the 16th. But the doctor's like, how am I going to tell her no? She done brought the girl, and I know I'm going to see her tomorrow.
And the girl is still sitting here.
5 hours later.
5 hours later. So you know what? Just for the commitment of alone.
Yes.
I will see her.
It's like that story in the Bible when it's like the widow woman and the judge, and she kept coming to the judge, and the judge is like, what do you want? Finally, the judge was like, listen, man, I don't even want to give you this judgment. I just don't want to see you no more. Like,
so here.
Just here.
Take it.
Leave me alone.
That does not mean you have to send those 15,000 emails thinking you want to work.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what we're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, so please, stop sending me your book. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read it.
I'm just saying.
Don't use what we have said against us.
It's the really, you know when you should be able to do that, right?
It's wisdom and understanding.
Wisdom and discernment of knowing when that can come in handy.
Yeah, don't use it against someone. Just be like, but you people said that you have to be persistent and expect it. Yes. It's like, okay. Well, sure, we did.
It's like that thing that we said, knowledge without wisdom is like water in the sand. Knowledge without wisdom. It's like water in the sand. That wisdom is what is there. Like, you might know that the doctor is busy, but you use the wisdom of like, well, if I bring the child is more likely to be seen because she's present.
Yes. And anything can happen in the day. Someone can cancel. You know, it's like the Bible says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding.
Understanding.
So I think you have to kind of take that same kind of attitude into life for real. Like, but you have to like believe it. And so, for instance, like if we have a next Jesus and Joe Love Life show and it's sold out, you can easily be like, oh, it's sold out. All right, I guess I just gotta wait for the next city. Or you can be like, you know what? I'm gonna go to the venue and I'm believe that somebody's friend is gonna stand them up and they're gonna have an extra ticket.
Yep.
And I'm gonna be right there. Or I'm gonna believe that there're gonna be group rates available, rush tickets at the door, and I'll get one of them. Or you know what? Like there are so many times where I literally showed up and got blessed. Because I was like, I know it says X, and I know you don't have to do anything for me, but I'm here. And this is like, well, since she's here.
Well, since she's here and committed.
And committed to the cause that she believes. Okay. Now, I'm not telling you to squat in front of somebody's house. All of a sudden, this is my house. this is my house. I know God has told me it's my house. They will call the police officers on you very quickly. Because you're trespassing. You're trespassing. Anyway, but that's Tales from, you know, remember the show, Tales from the Crypt?
Tales from the Crypt.
So this is Tales from Our Childhood.
Tales from Our Childhood. It
into
is.
Our adulthood. Tales from Our Childhood that affect our adulthood.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything affects our adulthood. Like, everything is a domino effect. Mm. Like, the people who we end up becoming. I remember being like, oh my gosh, I'm still very different from these kids. I'm going to just kind of study them and listen to how they talk. So I don't sound so different from them. Mm-hmm. And that's how I lost most of my accent. Mm-hmm. By just, like, listening to them and being like, okay, I can sound like that. Okay, cool. In, like, 3 or 4 years, I lost most of my Nigerian accent. But, like, thinking about how long it took me to understand that, like, honestly, no. Like, you could have kept that.
Yeah.
You could have kept talking like that.
Yeah.
They would just have to deal.
They'll just have to deal. And that is you, Lovey 101. This is me. You people just have to deal.
Like, it's like I forgot who I forgot my compass for a hot second. Like I forgot my compass for a hot second and then got it back in college.
And for me, it's funny, I was kind of the opposite. Well, similar in that like when I was bullied, it wasn't like I was trying to lose the accent. I just was trying to get friends. And the accent left because I was 6 when I came here. So it just like naturally left. But then I remember my oldest brother lived in Nigeria for a long time. And when he came back, he was speaking Igbo, like just pure water, just flowing out of his mouth. And I was like, he has something that I don't and I want. Because I was like, and I love the way like he would like talk to other Nigerians and he would be using Pidgin English. Like, oh boy, what did they happen for? Man, we just they go for this place. It's okay, no shaking, no wahala. And I was like, I want that. Like, I just was like, because again, I think I wanted to be my fourth brother. Like, yeah. I wanted to be my fourth because I wanted to have this camaraderie that like guys innately had. Because real talk, the girls were the ones who bullied me. So I wasn't really trying to be with the girls.
With the girls.
I was like, let me be, and my brothers were popular. So I was like, well, maybe in order for me to be liked, let me act like a dude. Which, again, I do stand-up comedy. It's a very male-dominated field. Yep. Because it's like, yo, what you gonna do? Tell me I'm not funny? Here I go. Like, I'm gonna be funnier than you. Like, it was always this, like, bravado.
Why you just still all gonna just listen to DMX?
Hey, yo, I got these jokes. I'm gonna slay these jokes. Come at me, homie. I just was like, test me. Don't test me. And it's like, I even post up like a dude. Like, it's like, I don't think I realized I was a lady until I got the role of Molly. I was like, oh, she a lady.
I be forgetting it's you when I'm watching Molly. I be like, I don't even see her as Yvonne at all. She's so different from
me. I'm such a tomboy because I was just like, it was cooler to be one of the dudes. And so, I don't even know what I was saying, but anyway, I was saying that, what was I saying, self? Just like, oh yeah. So like with the accent. And so my brother, so I remembered listening. Like, when I would tell you, like, I would be like, talk to me again. And I was like, okay, how do I say this thing? I remember going to Nigeria and just listening.
Just listening.
Again, how I became an actor.
Yep.
Just listening and be like, I can mimic that. I can put that, okay. And then I wanted to, I'm a perfectionist, and Massey gets on me, my trainer, Massey, because she's all like, you just got to repeat it so that your body gets to know it so that you can easily get into it. Me, competition me.
You're like, it must be perfect.
It must be perfect from minute one. If I mess up and I started over, she was like, she literally yells at me like, why did you start over? I'm like, no, because I owe you one because I didn't do it right. She's like, it's not about doing it right. I'm like, I have to do it right.
Yvonne, that one.
I'm this person.
Oh my God.
I got to do it right. Because if it's like, even writing this book, literally, I'd be like, wait. what do you mean I can't write a book? I can write a book. Like, other people have come before me and written a book. I don't care how hard it is. You can do it too. Like my parents would always say, do they have two heads? Like, and it's like, they don't.
See, that's the thing. In writing, perfectionism is a hindrance.
Sure. But in my mind, I'm like, but we're going to do it.
Because you're gonna expect draft one to be perfect. Yes. Which makes draft one hard to write. Draft one needs to have permission to be poor. Like,
and I don't really think I give myself permission to not be excellent. My best. Yeah.
But here's the thing though, your best might not be excellent yet. Your editor will make that excellent.
Sure.
So, perfectionist, that's right? Good. Type A overachievers is who we are mm-hmm. from jump.
Yes, because if I came home with a B+, I hit out before I went home.
I found my report card from Nigeria the other day. That, like, the teacher, it was an almost perfect report card. And teacher
almost
goes,
perfect.
Almost. Can you imagine me?
Almost
why
perfect.
Was perfect? Why was it not perfect? Why was it not perfect?
I'm upset at you.
Can you imagine?
You had one job.
It should have been perfect. Ha. And, like, I was just like, wow. This person, I remember, they used to rank us, actually.
What did the teacher say on the report card?
I actually don't remember. I actually looked. But they used to rank us in the class. Mm-hmm. And, which is, wow. I'm talking, like, from preschool, they would rank the class, everybody.
Yeah, that's what Nigeria does.
Correct.
Yes. That's why our parents always like, I came first in my class.
Also, there's no participation trophy, right?
Yes.
So I used to either be number one or number two. It used to switch between me and this dude. Mm-hmm. Every semester, it would change. One of us is number one, one of us was number two. All through the end. And I used to be like, what? The times I was number two, I was so upset. So upset. Like, why am I number two?
Why am I number two? Like, what makes her so... Like, why am I not one?
But that perfectionism then is why we are excellent now in terms of the work that we do in our craft.
Yes.
But it is a hindrance.
Yeah.
Because there are times when I want to launch a new project where I'll sit on it for 6 months because I'm like, unless it can be perfect, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I don't necessarily think I have the perfectionist that, like, hinders me.
Like we said before, perfectionist is an enemy of progress.
Yes. I think that I'm kind of like, you know what? Because... Here's what it is. I have the Nigerian and the faith. I know I'm like, let me just do my best and then God will do the rest.
Amen.
So for me, I just be like, let me go as hard as I can in my own ability, knowing that he adds his super to my natural. Mm. So that's I kind of have that balance. But for me, I'm just like, if I'm going to do something, I might as well do it right. If not, why am I doing it?
Right.
So that's why, like, when I say about the book, it's like, no, your let me make this bomb. Chapter as good as it can be because I know an editor is going to do
work
the work.
Their magic.
But, like, why do I have to heavy load her when I could do the best version as I could for myself right now?
But here's the thing, though.
I don't know what the best version is. I know you're about to say that's what you're about to say.
No, not even necessarily. I don't know what the best version is. Again, though, I really do think at certain points, our need for excellence loses the good. Like mm-hmm. if we hold on to it too tight,
okay,
it can lose its good because I promise, I saw a book.
Mommy has been talking about this book
for a week because it pissed me off.
And I saw it when I came to her house. I was like, in fact, I should be done with my book right now.
Correct.
I should be done.
So this book landed in my lap. This book is like 40 pages.
Girl.
With like size
no,
five.
It's 80, but it's really 40. Really
exactly.
29.
It's 80 pages. It's small. It has giant font.
And it's like two inches separating each line.
And this book is out
line
in the world.
Spacing. Yes.
And I looked at the book and I was like, I could have written this book in a day. And this book exists because this person was like, yeah, it's good enough.
And it's a New York Times bestseller.
But then it's not one yet.
Okay.
But we're sitting wondering if our books will be good enough.
Good enough, yeah.
When somebody released this junk. I'm not saying release junk.
It's not junk.
It's not junk. It's junk.
She's saying it as a slang term for a thing. I mean, because, you know, like, yo, that junk is crazy.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, like.
I was trying to give you all of you.
You were. But what I'm saying is, ultimately, we put so much pressure on ourselves to always be so excellent
that
pressure can sometimes be crippling.
That's true.
Right?
That's because, and I do agree because.
And I do it sometimes. So.
I do. Yes, we all do it. But that's why, like, I don't know if I sent you my chapter summaries.
You did. It
I
was
did.
Good.
But they were like, it was, my chapter summary was 30 pages.
Yeah.
Like, it was very intense. And as I'm writing it, like, I get to a point where I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm done. Like, I feel like I'm done with this chapter.
Yeah.
Even though I left, like, a whole chunk that I wanted to put in. We'll either find a place for it or it just won't get put
perfect.
In.
Perfect.
Yes. And it's just like, it's kind of like when they tell you in comedy, it's like, yo, don't be hard on your set, because you know who doesn't know your set? The audience.
The audience. If you forget a line.
If you forget a line, nobody knows. So just, but again, I fight that because I'm like, I want it to be good. But it's like, just get up there and be you, because
and also,
they came to see you.
It's going to be good because it's you.
And that's what I'm learning.
It's going to be good because of you. Like, I have no... I'm already writing the blurb for the book, and I ain't even read it yet. Like, it's going to be good because it's you.
Ah, you're writing my blurb. Ah, look, I love it. I got to be...
Come on. Because I already know, because everything that you do is good. Just because you put so much thought and intent into it, in a way...
It's his anyway.
So I'm like, this is already going to be good. You know, a lot of times you just don't think we're good enough. Yeah, but it's because we've been so hard on each other for such a long time, on ourselves.
Like, and our parents have been hard on us.
Oh, my God.
Remember, I was going to be somebody's boss
in eighth grade.
But let's talk about, like, the things that work for work that don't work in relationships or social
that we
life.
Learned?
Yeah, like, there are characteristics that make us phenomenal entrepreneurs and CEOs and bosses, and those same characteristics.
That need for excellence. Because you know what the need for excellence also does? It sometimes gives you a lack of vulnerability. Because...
Does it?
Yes.
How does need for excellence translate to lack of vulnerability?
Because you're afraid to make mistakes. Because you're afraid to make mistakes, because mistakes will actually, like... It'll show your non-shiny side.
Your weaknesses.
It'll show the part that hasn't been buffed clean. It will show the part that's kind of messy. So in relationships, you're supposed to have some messy parts. You're supposed to work through it, because that's how you grow and that's how you get better. That I need to be excellent is what makes people be like, well, I didn't want to bring that mistake that I did to you, or I didn't want to bring that argument to you because I didn't figure out how to say it to you perfectly. So I was just holding on to it. Next thing you know, it's been a month and you're still mad about the same thing because you haven't figured out the perfect words. And that's real. It's something I've gone through where it's been like, yeah, the reason why I didn't say that, I couldn't find the exact right words I wanted to use. Mm-hmm. So I didn't say it because it wasn't perfect yet. I hadn't formed it perfectly in my head, so I didn't bring it to you. But that forms resentment because if you're stewing that for much longer, you start getting mad and you don't even know what you're mad at. You're actually really mad because you think this person should know this thing, but you haven't said it.
Yeah.
Because you think it's not perfect yet.
And they're not a mind reader.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's something I think, again, like the vulnerability pieces. Again, those of us who want excellence, there's something about a lack of vulnerability that we also have. Just across the board.
Across the board. I can, it's funny because I think I was saying to you that one of my friends/pastors was like, I think you have walls up. And I was like, what's walls? She was like, I don't think you allow like people to penetrate. Like she was like, you have different layers.
Yeah.
And people are able to penetrate certain layers. Mm-hmm. But she was like, there's like an inner layer that's like Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but isn't that life? In my mind, I was like, what's the problem? I was like, so doesn't everybody? You can't just be an open book for everybody to read.
Open book.
But she was just like, no. She's like, that actually makes you a really good employer. That makes you a really good entrepreneur and businesswoman. Mm-hmm. She's like, but in relationships, the walls have to come down. And I'm like, I don't even know I have walls. I do. My walls are down. Mm-hmm. They, you know, she's like, to an extent. And I was like,
it's like the invisible blanket. Your nose there, it's there.
The invisible blanket. I
think about the Harry Potter invisibility cloak.
The cloak of invisibility.
The wall can be. It's kind of like the last. It's the last gate people got to open before they kind of like hit your heart.
But what's funny is that we think I don't think we fully comprehend or understand vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like you believe you're an open book. It's kind of like when I'm working out and my Massey be like, strain your arms. I'm like, my arms are straight. She's like, no.
No, they're not.
They're not. And I'm looking down and I'm like, but they look straight. And there's like a bend that I don't even see. And I'm like, I don't think they can get any straighter. And she's like, don't think about it. Breathe. Keep breathing and get longer. Get longer. And then before I know, I'm like, oh. She's like, you see the difference? And sometimes I think you feel like, I am being open. I'm being vulnerable. I'm, what?
But
and
then she's
like, wait,
nope.
Since when?
You are not. No, it's real. That's real. I think it's one of the things you unpack in therapy.
But I think that's what adulting is, and this whole episode, so you're like, well, this is a very different formula than what they're used for. But like, this adulting is reflecting on what's worked, what hasn't, being able to scrap and rework, being able to pivot, being able to sometimes it's okay for a certain amount of time to be the thing that you are that may not necessarily be profitable, but it's great to get to the root of it. To
yeah,
know what
and it comes
like,
with reflecting.
And it comes
our childhood actually dictates everything about who we are now. Everything. The experiences we have. The things somebody told us the one time we stood up for ourselves and it made us shut up. You know what I mean? Or like an experience you had that nobody believed you. It actually does, it absolutely dictates how you work through life. So like, let's say you, the pizza situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you were working in corporate.
Oh, yeah. You can't eat my food.
And somebody ate your food. You would go you would go postal.
Like, I had to literally learn to be okay with sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always got the last slice.
Yep.
I always got the last slice. And so for me, I'm like, I had to savor my last slice in order to make me feel good about the fact that even though I was last, everyone's done and you still got a piece.
Yep.
Left.
Yep.
Okay?
And it's
so,
okay.
It's okay. And so now it's like, I had to learn to be like, it's hard to share. Like, it's okay. Like, you can get another slice.
You can
like,
get another
you're an adult now.
You can go buy your own slice. You can buy the whole pizza.
You can buy another
go
slice.
Go buy the pizza like, franchise, in fact. Go buy the whole franchise.
You know, but I had to understand, like, this is where this comes from.
Yeah.
And the mentality of, like, I'm going to make sure I always have something in my hand. While that's a great mentality, it's like, understand what it could be either keeping you from
mm-hmm.
or helping you achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But just understand the pros and the cons of everything.
Yeah.
Because, again, people be like, that's just me. And like we said before, who is the best thing you call me? And what are they keeping you from?
Amen.
Like, what is me keeping you from? And, like, you gotta figure that out. Or what is me helping you get?
Yep.
So then more of that.
Yep.
More of that. And obviously in moderation. But,
yeah.
I think this was great. This was, like, this is, like, very therapeutic.
You know?
To, like, reflect. And, like, it's funny. I know some people are, like, probably going to try and call DHS.
On our kids. It's too late. They don't have any more kids in the house.
Is it DHS?
It depends on what state.
Department of what is it?
Of Health and Human... No, of we call it...
whatever the child services
what
is.
What is it called in Chicago? It's called, like...
As we look at Mark,
tell us.
What is it? Have your kids called it on you yet?
Mark, I don't believe what they're saying right now. I don't believe them.
Huh?
DCS! Yeah, DCFS. DCFS is what it's called in Chicago.
Department of
Children and Family Services.
Aha, yes.
Like
DHL.
DHL.
We call DHL.
Well, that's how you know you're a freaking immigrant. Because DHL is the one you use to ship stuff from the continent. That's why you're an immigrant.
Yes, I will call DHL on you. They will deliver you to the prisons.
They will deliver you. I cannot deal with you. Yeah, man. Like, honestly, the whole time you were speaking, I was picturing you. Like, tiny you. And it was really funny. You as a kid.
As a kid?
Yes, I totally was. Like, as you tell these stories, I was totally picturing you as a kid.
I was very like, not militant, but just very like, oh y'all gonna find out about me. There was something about me that was like, y'all gonna find out. Like, I'm gonna get my way eventually.
Yeah.
It's like, you keep doing this, don't you worry. Like, and I was just strong. I just had this mentality of like, there's a wall, we gonna go through it. Because when you have DDTP moves
done on you, and you lived.
When you've been in the sleeper hold and the choker hold, and you're like, all right, well, I can survive that.
The thing, one day I got off, I keynoted a conference, and I got off the stage and was just mingling with the attendees. And one woman stopped me and was like, I have a question for you. And I was like, okay. She was like, you were on that stage, and just in general, you've seen really centered and so sure of yourself. She's like, how did you get that? I was like stunned because I wasn't thinking about that in any way, nor do I think about like how I'm necessarily like taking up space in that way. And she like literally was so, not concerned. She was so enamored and intrigued by it. And she was like, how did you get that thing? And I was like, I don't remember not being that.
Yeah, that's real talk.
I don't remember not being the girl who walks into a room and doesn't think she doesn't belong there. Like, doesn't think like, yeah, like no, I belong here. I'm here. Imposter syndrome is real, but I just know like me at 5 is the same girl you see now who will walk in the room like, hi, everyone. Hey, without, I'm not necessarily thinking about what are people thinking about me.
Yeah.
So I told her, I was like, yes, because I've always been this girl. However, my concern has never been the moment I walk in the room, how are people thinking of me? My concern has always just been,
what do I do when I'm in that room?
What do I do when I'm in the room? And then when I'm on stage, when I'm in the room, And I thought about that. It made me think about the power of that, of being the little girl who was able to have that and then carried that through life.
Yeah.
And I think you have something similar too.
You see, I did belong. It's almost like, you see, I had something to say. Mm. You see, I knew I wasn't crazy. Like, it was like, you see, I knew we could be friends. Mm. You see, like, it was almost like, not that I was trying to prove myself, but it's kind of like where I am now was just kind of a, like, almost like a justification of like, you see, like, you see, guys. Like,
I've been trying to tell you.
I've been trying, come on. What took us so long? It's almost like that, like, I'm here. This is where I was supposed to be. I knew. Like, it was almost like there was the little girl in me was fighting to become the adult that I am now.
That you are now.
Ooh. Like, she was trying to get out, but it was too many, like, no, you're not pretty. No, stop talking. No, you're too young. No, you're too small. No. And it was like, what? And God got in me. I was like, I got plans, boo. Don't worry about it. I know you've been cast out. I know you've been looked over. I know you've been younger. I know you've been, you know, told you couldn't. I know you've been told to be quiet, but I'm going to give you a mic and you're going to talk. It's like, what?
I love it.
And it was just like, I'm here.
I love that.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's just like,
they tried to reject you, but here's the thing though, the power in that, like, I know you don't see it as like, no, it's just had that, the power in that resilience in your refusal to continue to be silenced, because some people continue to be silenced. Mm. You were like, yeah, you tried to silence me, but like,
but I have so much to say.
I'm not going
to
be on no Little Mermaid joint. I'm not giving up my voice to Ursula. You were like, okay, I'm going to be quiet right now, but then y'all going to give me this mic and you won't have me stop talking. That is incredible, because it just speaks of your strength and your fortitude, and you knowing who you were and whose you were carried you through life. And here you are being the woman that you needed to be when you were 12. That's amazing. That is amazing.
I received that. But that's why I'm writing the book Bamboozled by Jesus, because I feel like that's, Joseph kind of went through the same thing. I love Joseph in the Bible. Because like, hey guys, I got a dream. They're like, shout out.
What dream?
You dream because daddy thinks you're the favorite and he gave you this cloak of many colors. Go on, sit down somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh dang, I just thought I was having a sharing this caring moment, but dang. Then it was like, you know what, why don't we sell this fool? Let's go sell him to slavery. Mm-hmm. And so the one thing that he had was like love and
his
dream. Got him sold into slavery, got him lied on, got him put in jail. And then it's like, got him second in command over all of Egypt. So it's like, again, he had that moment of, guys, you see, like, I know the dream said that you guys were going to bow to me, but it didn't mean that you guys were going to be lesser. It means like, now we can all be in Egypt together and like not go down under the famine of the land. Like, and I can help. Yeah. You know, it was like he was just trying to help. But sometimes that's life. Sometimes that's life. The very thing that you're purpose and meant to do, it has to go through
All the rough stuff.
It has to go to the gentle cycle, the hard cycle, the spin cycle.
Extra rinse cycle.
Yep. And then you come out like, oh, clean. I'm here.
Yeah.
But one thing I know, and I don't know how to do a better job of this, and I'm like, why don't these last couple of episodes have just been
Give me
a second. I'm like, I don't know about
it. Are they okay?
Is she about okay?
This is cathartic, okay?
Is they going to make it? No, and it's just something I don't think, and I don't know if it's because we're Nigerian, but my friends came over and they were like, yo, have you just stopped back and just sat in like all the dope stuff that you're doing? Like, it's amazing, right? And I'm like, have I sat back and stopped?
No.
And in my mind, I'm like, for what? Because my thing was, I felt like people stopped too long. Like, they stopped too long.
They smelled the roses and took a nap in the garden. They not only smelled the roses, they took a nap in the garden.
And then stretched it out, took a yoga class, did a 30-day meditation there. Meanwhile, everybody has spots them, and they woke up like, oh, what happened? It's like the tortoise in the hare. You know, like, for me, so it's like I have to find that balance of, like, taking a moment, like, yo, this is dope, this is cool. I'd be like, this is cool. All right, what's next?
Yeah, I do that.
And it's just like, I'm always grateful, but it's just like, there's work to be done, because if I'm not, if I stop, like, how long do I stop for? How long do I celebrate? Like, I don't know. Like, no one teaches us the rules because our parents were like, you must be fast.
Go.
So, again, it's like the things in our childhood that, like, again, make us great, like, CEOs and bosses. It's like, as humans, are we moving too fast?
Like, I use my Instagram as my own catalog. I feel like the things I share on Instagram are just to remind me of what happened in that moment. Because there are days when, yeah, I don't smell the roses. I don't have time. Who's smelling roses?
Who's like, what? Okay, we see them. Hold on. Oh,
okay,
they're
cool.
Good.
That's good. I'm already on to the next. Any new thing that happens with me, anything I get, I celebrate it in the moment. And then I promise you I don't sit in that. I'm done. I'm already like, okay, and then I'm working on my next book and blah, blah, blah.
I remember telling my agents, like, the minute we start shooting a new season of Insecure, pretend it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, what are we doing next? Like, the minute they say action, I need in 3 months something to be ready for me because mm-hmm. this is over. Like, it no longer exists anymore. What's next? And they're like, what? Can't you just film for a little bit?
Girl, when I did my TED Talk, I had to get on a flight an hour after I did my TED Talk. I got off the stage at 6:25. I said thank you after I finished my TED Talk, ran off the stage. The stage manager had to push me back on the stage. He was like, I need you to see the standing ovation you're getting. Because talk about not taking time to smell the roses. Wow. I was instantly like, all right, and now I go to the airport. Before I even stepped off the stage, I said thank you. I was like, airport mode. And this man made me stop.
Wow. Sometimes we need those people to stop us.
And he was like, I need you to go back on stage because there's a standing ovation you're missing for you. And I saw the standing ovation, even quickly acknowledged it, ran back off stage, took my mic off, was in the car, in the plane, 40 minutes after I said thank you. And couldn't even think about what just happened because I was already rehearsing the keynote I was doing the next day.
Yeah.
Next morning. Yeah. And I'm just like, in these moments, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Yeah, this is not true.
We just constantly running, and which is why I got to a point where I burned out and was like, I have to go sit on my couch for the next 2 weeks and not talk to anybody.
You did not move.
Mm-mm. For like a month. I was like, I can't because, yeah, sometimes you do actually have to sit there, smell the roses, maybe take a nap in the garden with the understanding that
you're going to get up. You set an alarm clock.
Set an alarm clock. So you're not just laying there for days. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
and I think because we never really saw, I never really saw my parents take a break.
Yeah.
There was no, there, like, we can't afford.
Take a break.
That's a luxury.
Take a break.
We are at a point and in a generation where we value self-care.
Yes.
Where we value, like, you know, going to the, you know, get a tune-up. You know, like, you got
to
get an oil change
every
1,000 miles. Go to therapy. Do all the things. But it's still foreign because it's like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I know it's important, but, like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I know how to keep. It's like, some people are the opposite of us. Some people are like, I don't know how to be motivated. I don't know how to excel. I don't know how to be excellent. We're like, that's the easy part. We're like, I don't know how to stop.
How do we stop?
So it's just like, everybody, you know, everybody has their thing. So you can't be like, oh, man, I wish I was this. I was, because somebody could be looking at you like, man, I wish I took more time to just chill. Like, because the thing that we don't want is you don't want to get to a point where you're living the life that you work so hard for,
mm-hmm.
but you're not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't want to also be at a point where you're enjoying too much of life, but you're not living.
There's that
purposely.
Whole thing where they say they ask nurses who take care of dying patients,
mm-hmm.
like, what are the things that dying patients say they regret the most about their lives? And a lot of their regret is not spending enough time with family. Their regret is never, I didn't work enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about that where I'm like, yeah, they didn't stop to make more money, but I'm like, at what point do we afford ourselves a privilege of making sure
of
our family, of our friends, have been able to tap out of the excellence mode, of being able to tap out of the grind because we were like, you know what? There's always going to be a moving goalpost. We will never get to a point where we're like, we have done it.
No.
We can't sit down.
Because anything, what? Not growing is?
Dying.
Okay.
But we also need to give ourselves the privilege of resting. We can grow while resting.
True.
Can we
sometimes
rest?
You need, your muscles need to, like, your body was meant to rejuvenate in those 8 hours. And that is a luxury. Those 8 hours of stillness and sleep. All right, Levy, hit us with the proverb for this episode.
Yes, yes, yes. A child brought up where there is always dancing cannot fail to dance.
That's why I can't stop but move.
Yes.
I'm shaking, I'm body rolling because we came out the womb.
So whatever you're brought up around, you can't fail it. We're brought up around excellence. We're brought up around people who were like, you're going to go. So we will always go.
We were always going to be these people.
But the thing we need to challenge ourselves for is to then do the opposite. Like,
sometimes you gotta be still.
Sometimes you gotta be still, yo.
Yeah, because sometimes your knees get weak. Ah, and you have to have Bengay.
Hey.
For you to keep dancing.
And aloe vera gel.
But so what does that mean that, like, if you weren't brought up around dancing, if you weren't brought up around something, then you can't be that?
No, you can learn it. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially saying the thing that you're brought up around kind of dictates what you're gonna do. And essentially kind of shows what you're going to succeed at in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're always around this thing, that's the thing you're used to being around. That is the example you have.
Yeah.
You are less likely to fail at that thing because you've been around it so much.
So much.
It's the thing that you haven't been around that you have to work harder at.
Yes. But if someone grew up like, my dad wasn't there, my mom was a crackhead, you know, I don't know, just dire situations.
You can still succeed. You can still succeed. Mm-hmm. You just have to work because you will succeed in spite of it. Mm. Right?
You'll so essentially, the proverb is cool. It's like, if you lean yourself to that thing, which is what you brought up,
yeah,
then that is also a path that you can go in.
Yeah.
Or you can lean towards another path because you've been exposed to that.
Correct.
So if my father was Muhammad Ali, I may grow up to want to be Layla Ali.
Layla.
Or I may be like, oh, I understand athletes, but I'm going to grow up to be a sports commentator.
But because your dad was Muhammad Ali, you're more likely to be a successful boxer. You know what I mean? So that's essentially what it is. You're more likely to be Layla Ali than you are to be us.
Than I am to be Layla.
Exactly. Than I am. Because me, I don't know anything about boxing. What would I do?
How are you eating me? My beautiful face. Please, I beg, sir. Please.
So, yeah, man.
Man, I hope you guys have enjoyed taking a trip down memory lane.
Memory lane.
With us. And if you feel triggered.
We are sorry for you. Because we understand. But we understand.
But we understand.
We understand.
We also understand it probably hopefully made you a better person.
I mean, honestly, hopefully lets you reflect. Because some of your habits from today are from yesterday.
And you as an adult get to pick which ones are profitable for you.
Yep.
And which ones are not helping you be the best version of yourself.
And in case you haven't listened to our therapy episode, all of this requires therapy.
Peel back the layers.
The layers. Yes.
Okay, so now unpack that.
Unpack that for me.
Okay, now tell me more about that.
Yes.
What's your relationship with your mother like?
Correct. And how do you feel about bedroom doors that are closed with you in front of it, Yvonne? That's why Yvonne's hotel rooms must be nice. Because she remembers when she slept outside the door.
Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I sing to the ocean floor.
Sometimes I float. I can't do it. Okay, well, find us on the interwebs. Our podcast username is @JesusAndJalof everywhere.
And I'm @YvonneOrgy.
And I am @Lovey.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our family. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye,
bye, bye. Ain't no lie.
What does this mean? It means this is the last episode of Jesus and Jalof season 2.
Season 2. Don't cry. Don't cry for us, Argentina. The truth is I never left you.
We're not leaving you.
All through our wild days, our mad existence, we kept our promise.
Wow, Yvonne. You want us to come back for season 3. Do you want us to come back for season 3?
Just channeling my Evita. Can I not channel Evita as I drink my Bonvita?
Your Bonvita.
As I drink my Bonvita.
Yeah, man. This is the last episode of season 2 of Jesus and Jalof, which the theme was adulting.
Man, I hope y'all grew with us.
Yeah, man. I love doing this thing. That was dope.
Yeah, because it's like, I grew with us.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like, I learned something about you. I learned something about me.
I definitely learned about you and me.
That's why you and me must never part.
Monkey dad. Ain't no ocean, ain't no sea. Monkey dad can't keep Yvonne away from me.
Ooh. You got to keep me away. I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Correct.
I don't care. Even after you get married, I'll be just peeking through your window.
Just peeking through the window. Are you there?
Are you there? If you got home, are you at home? Love it.
Open the door.
In fact, I'm coming through the window.
You're just going to climb through.
Climb through. Yeah. I know your gate code. man, this has been great growing and adulting with you guys. One thing I know we have both learned is adulting sucks sometimes.
It's a scam. Adulting is a scam, in fact.
But we can't escape it. Yeah. You know, one of our props talked about, you know, running to the ocean and, like, you know, don't run back. Yeah. You guys just sit into it. It's going to be uncomfortable for a while. But when you sit into it, you realize, like, oh, the water's not that cold.
And we talked about the things that we wish people had candid conversations about us with when we were growing up. Like, adulting, everyone just feels like, oh, I get grown, and then I'm grown too. But we're all trying to figure it out at the same time, in the same way. But we're all confused together. So we wanted to use this season to just basically talk about adulthood being a scam.
I don't think it's a scam. I think it's trial and error.
You say scam. It's 419. It's 419.
It's asking for our social security number. Adulthood is asking us for our email
adulthood
address.
Adulthood is sending the emails and saying our uncle has left $5 billion for you. That's adulthood.
That's what adulthood is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was... And we hope you guys enjoyed the season. We hope you shared it with other people.
And we'll see you on our live tours, whenever those will be.
Yeah, and if you ever wonder where we are, you can always check our Instagram.
At Jesus and Jaloff.
Yep, and I am at Lovey, L-U-V-V-I-E, because people constantly spell my name wrong.
It's okay, don't worry, it's not their fault. They are growing into adults.
And they haven't
learned how
to spell yet.
And who can't read. And I'm at Yvonne Orji, that's O-R-J-I. And we're going to get a newsletter.
Yeah, we're going to get a newsletter. And we announce all this stuff through social. We will roll it out as we are ready. And we're going to do a Jesus and Jaloff tour. So you never know when we'll come to your city. So you really want to follow us to find out when. Because then you will say, we didn't tell you.
And look at you. They always want to. We never knew.
We never knew.
I didn't know.
I'm vexing.
I'm upset with
I'm
them.
I'm upset. They didn't tell me. You're in my city. I didn't know.
See my life.
See your life.
See me see trouble.
See you see wahala.
No shaking. I don't blame them.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
But it's your fault if you don't follow us.
Hide your face.
Hide your face. And honestly, if you have ideas of what theme we should have for season 3, what you want to see on Jesus and Jaloff, let us know. Email us, jesusandjaloff@gmail.com. And then also, buy t-shirts.
Buy our t-shirts.
It's at jesusandjaloff.com. So
come on. Be foolish goats and bombastic buffoons with us.
And what would you do this summer? What are you people doing this summer? We'll be
summer body loading.
Loading.
In fact, chocolate testimony
is coming.
The six pack is, I see the definition.
The way the yash will just be sitting up like this.
Just
like,
bounce a quarter.
Off it and put Coke can on top.
Hey, soon coming.
It's soon coming.
Soon coming.
So we'll be doing
drink
shaka.
A slappy.
You will be peppering them, summer body.
It's not, if you see Love It and I just went pasties.
Pasties, that's it. and boy shorts.
Our training sessions have come to fruition.
They went really well. Because half the reason why we're training right now is so we can scatter people left and right.
In fact, I'll just be going to church with midriff top.
You'll be praising God in crop top.
Praising God in crop top.
Full praise in half top.
I was laying prostrated at the throne room of Jesus.
So yeah, man. You people are going to miss us. We will miss you. Actually, we won't miss you because we'll just still be talking to you on social.
We'll be talking to you.
We'll be talking to you. We'll be around.
Mm-hmm. We'll pretend like how you're friends with everybody else. Double tapping your pictures.
Double tapping your pictures. Like, yeah, we see you. So, yeah, man.
All right. Until season 3.
Holler. In fact, Yvonne, you have to take us out the correct way. Come on. You already know.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Are we doing prayer? Are we doing DMX? Are we doing DMX as prayer?
Which one? Yeah, do prayer first.
Prayer first.
No. DMX prayer. So, DMX is the one giving the prayer.
They got my father!
Actually, no. I changed my mind.
I don't like you. All right. Hey, God. We just come before you and we just say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to just impart whatever wisdom you have given us. Sometimes it came out as wisdom. Sometimes it came out as foolishness. But that's the way you made us.
Correct.
So it's your fault, Jesus. We blame you. But we love you. We thank you.
Yes.
And we pray for everybody that's listening to this right now, God, as they're going through their changes, as they're adulting, and as they're growing in wisdom and in knowledge and everything that you've put on inside of their hearts, God. I pray that they lean not onto their own understanding, but God, they lean onto all of your wisdom, unto your word, by that we know that it's only by your strength, it's only by your might, God, it's only by your spirit. So we decrease now, we allow you and you alone to increase in us. We ask you to add your super to our natural.
Yes,
Father, you said many are the plans in a man's heart, but like you, God, you lead us. So we ask you to go before us, making every crooked path straight.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, that we have the boldness of David, God, as we step boldly to the throne of God to ask for our requests, to help.
Yes.
help us, even in our relationship with our parents, to help us as we boldly go forth in the desires of our hearts and to our dreams, God. Yes. As we boldly make plans in our finances and in our relationships, mm-hmm. God. Father, we know that you're with us and you're there with us. So God, we thank you, Father, that everybody that needs to be stripped away from us for us to live out the best of our lives, God, yes. expose, reveal, and remove any plan of the enemy, God.
Amen.
Remove those people, even though it may be hard for us, we may not fully understand why they're getting stripped from us, but God, we know that you are purifying us by your fire.
Amen.
So anybody that does not have our best interests at heart, Father, remove them right now.
Yes, amen.
Any work of inequity, any enemy of progress, anything mm-hmm. that does not line up with your best and with your word for us, Father, we cast it down now. Satan, let me just remind you, you have been defeated. You have no teeth. Our feet are on your head. So back down. Like, you have no bark and you have no bite. You have been defeated and the keys of hell have been snatched from
your
hand.
Come on, Deacon OG.
So devil, we serve you notice right now that you are an unwanted foe and you don't want to test us, because the worst thing that you could ever do to us is test us, because again, we have passed. Jesus died, rose, and he is on the throne, okay?
Yes.
For us to be everything that he has called us to be.
Amen.
So Father, we thank you that our lives will produce much
thank
fruit.
You, Lord.
And Father, we'll be able to reproduce this fruit in our offspring and in our families and in our communities and everyone we touch. I thank you that you will help us see the best days of our lives,
amen.
Which are still yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's all we... Amen. Come on.
That's it. That's it. Receive your blessings.
Receive it. And we'll see y'all in season 3.
Deuces. Hey, yo. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Bye.